from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings alongside Jason Dumas with you here. Happy Independence Day. Appreciate everybody that could put down the beer for, I don't know, a couple hours, maybe a segment or two. Put down the hot dogs.
Keep the beer open. Keep the beer open.
Don't tell me, Jay.
Put us on the speakers.
The Odyssey
app?
Yeah,
have that grill open.
If you're watching us on YouTube, you'll see a bit of a juxtaposition between the two styles right now, because Jay, big TV guy, has got a show coming up later. Meanwhile, I do have not necessarily a show coming up later, but I got to get to a fireworks show, Jason. So, I mean, I appreciate you coming in suited and booted, but that's just not my vibe today.
Yeah. I mean, shoot, this has been my whole week, so I'm on Sunday through Thursday at Cron. I'm on the 6 o'clock news. I anchor the sportscast on the 6 o'clock news on Channel 4. And then we have a 15-minute segment at 10:45 and then another sportscast at 11:20. So as soon as I leave here, I'll shoot up to the Embarcadero where our Cron 4 studios are and I'll do the TV thing. But, you know, I can't complain at all. All I do is talk about sports.
I was going to say that's what we do here. I know you've been doing it the last 3 days, filling in for the afternoons with Mark Willer. Grandy. Yeah, filling in for Mark Willer with Mark Grandy alongside Dan Dibley. Of course, a lot of Warrior stuff to react to. I know you guys dug into the Klay Thompson divorce. I guess there was, you know, kind of a smaller, or let's just say, bow that was put on it this morning by the Athletic's Marcus Thompson. It just kind of got into like the humanistic part of it. And look, we're going to get into where the Warriors are going, what their roster looks like. Do they have a big trade on the horizon? Also a chance to look back at what July 4th means to Warriors fans, what it means honestly to the NBA and how it's brought us to this point. But I think for me, Jay, I enjoyed reading the piece just because, look, I think we all understand why it happened. And from everything that's come out from covering the team, both of us, you could kind of see it trending in this direction. So it made a lot of sense, even if some people didn't see it coming. But I guess it was just nice to kind of have that sort of reminder of the sentimentality and the emotion that perhaps, you know, you've been here for 6 years, so you got a glimpse of it. But, dude, like Klay Thompson was a rookie when I was a junior in high school.
Right.
So, like, I loved Klay Thompson. And to kind of get reminded of that, at least it was a nice trip down memory lane for me.
No, I get it. I get it 100%. Well, I get it, but I don't get it. I don't get it because I've only been here 6 years. So yeah. I don't want to pretend like
you said,
I have the same emotional
attachment.
The first
year you got here was a tough year. So
yeah.
You've only seen the tough years.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. So like, yeah, I saw the year where Klay went down and Kevin Durant went down and then Kevin Durant left and then the next year was just a wash. Sorry, Kai Bowman. And then, and then the following year is like COVID, you know, so it's like weird. We don't even really get to like interact with anybody. And then it's 2022. And then they win a championship. That was the craziest year. That was the funnest. That was the funnest team I've had covering pro sports, sports in general. And I've been doing this since 2012. I've been on TV covering teams since 2012. 2011, I graduated from school and I was behind the scenes, production assistant, ESPN. But since I've been covering full-time athletic programs, that team was just so fun. It was the perfect storm. Jordan Poole, for a 12-month span, played like Kyrie Irving damn near. It was an amazing team to cover. I guess the only thing I could relate to with Klay Thompson leaving would maybe be when Iverson left the Sixers. Obviously, he didn't win the championships that Klay Thompson won. But he still had the culture. He didn't win the championship, but I would say he had a bigger cultural impact on his city. I mean, like, everything you see in the NBA now with the headbands, the tattoos, that's Iverson. So imagine just the city he was even playing in. It was just, he was a culture icon. And then he left. I forget how many years he left or how many years he was in Philly before he left. It was a long time, though.
Yeah.
It was a long time. He eventually, and I posed this question to Dibs yesterday, and he said it's too soon, it's too raw for me to answer, but Iverson eventually returned to Philly.
Yep.
And he had a pretty, like, relatively speaking, obviously, pretty productive year. And it was great because somewhat like Klay, the end was, and it's not unique to Klay or Allen Iverson. It's usually the case. When you're there for so long and you leave, the end is usually a little weird.
Yeah.
It's not as ideal as you want. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. Peyton was pissed. He knew they were tanking for Andrew Luck. He wasn't happy about that. Tom Brady, apparently, him and Belichick didn't speak for months after he left New England.
Yeah.
Like, so it's always going to be messy. This is not unique to Klay Thompson. So everybody should also realize this. When you have such an emotional partnership with someone for so long, and it goes beyond sports, really, Ev, breakups, when you have this emotional connection with someone else or a group, and you see the end, and you know it's going to come to an end, it's never black and white. It's never really clean. It's rarely clean. Of course, there's exceptions. But more times than not, what we're seeing with Klay and the Warriors, it's not unique. It's like that when people break up. But my question that I posed to Dibs was, do you think Klay could eventually spin the block and come around? And like I said, Iverson left. He went to Denver. He was with Melo and them for like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Then he had two just like unserious stints with the Pistons and the Memphis Grizzlies. And then he eventually came back to Philly and he played like half of a season with Philly before he retired. But he played good basketball, helped them win some games. And it was very, it was like, it was therapeutic.
Yeah,
it was very healing to Philadelphia. Not that Philly hated him or anything, but like it was just that weird, like, damn, he's playing for another team and we got to kind of see him. And it's like, it's weird. It's like seeing your ex at the bar or something. But like when Iverson finally came back and he spent that last season with Philly, it was just good. It was like Campbell's soup when you're sick, bro. Just good.
It's just good vibes.
Just good for the heart.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
I think that's interesting you bring up Iverson because the player that I think of is Dwayne Wade.
Oh, yeah.
And Dwayne Wade. But there, actually, that break was not acrimonious the first time. There was an understanding that the Miami Heat just didn't have space for him. You know, they're breaking up the Heatles.
Where was his first? Was it Chicago?
Yes, which was his hometown.
Got it.
So he went back to Chi and then eventually got traded to Cleveland to play with LeBron.
Right.
And he came off the bench and then eventually came back to Miami where he finished in 2019, from what it appears,
yeah.
But he played off the bench.
No, you're right, though. That kind of does. It's kind of like Iverson's. Like, just you eventually make your way back to home.
Yeah, yeah. And Dwayne Wade, even though he was technically like a two on those Heat teams, like Miami, but loves Dwayne Wade.
Dade County. That was that. LeBron was the best player. Make no mistake. But it was Dwayne Wade's team.
Oh, absolutely.
I think LeBron would tell you that.
He probably would. God, it's crazy that he's still playing. Dwayne Wade's been retired for 5 years.
I know. I don't even... Dwayne, like, Dwayne Wade in a Bulls and Cavs jersey is gross. I don't even want to remember that.
Oh my gosh.
There's probably not one noteworthy moment of him in either of those jerseys.
I can't remember anything that Dwayne Wade did in a Cleveland Cavaliers jersey. But to that point, I do think there is a possibility that Klay Thompson could come back and retire and play for the Golden State Warriors. Because I think one of the big reasons he needed a change of scenery was, like, Klay's the most human of the three, like, in my opinion. I just think he's the most akin to a normal person. Like, Draymond Green is the rah-rah guy, and he's very polar. Like, he's polarizing, to be honest.
He's not for everybody.
And Steph Curry is just the wonder child. Like, he's just perfect, you know, and he's the legend. So he's the franchise. Klay always appeared to be, like, the kind of, I don't know, like the guy that was easiest to connect to, just because
Klay's the middle child, honestly.
That's a great call.
He's the middle child. He's unassuming. He probably doesn't get the most attention. I mean, Steph gets the most attention, obviously, the prodigal son. Steph, the prodigal son. He's the oldest. He's the one who mom and dad are most proud of. They'll never say it out loud, but he is their prodigal son. Draymond's, and I say this in good faith, but Draymond is the guy who's like, we got to keep an extra eye on him. We love him. He's so unique, but he will drive you crazy. That's
shot you talking to me.
Yeah. That's always the baby. That's always the baby. My sister, oh my Lord. She has aged my parents 10 years, and I say that out of love. I love that girl to death, but she got the baby child qualities. My Lord.
Yeah. No, I think that's actually a great way to put it. Steph is the eldest child. He's the leader. He's the poster boy for everything. He's the one that everyone looks up to. Klay Thompson's the middle child that kind of gravitates between towards being the loving one, but being sometimes a little petulant because he's not getting enough attention. Mm-hmm. But then he pretends that he doesn't want it, and then he comes back around.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of a complex.
I mean, I'm a middle child, so I feel like I could speak to this perfectly. This is exactly how we operate. And then Draymond Green is the youngest kid who kicks and screams, literally sometimes, and can occasionally be the guy that you love the most and you love the hardest, but also just, why the hell did you do that?
Yeah.
So, no, I think that's a great way to put it. Steph's the oldest, Klay's the middle, Draymond the youngest. And it's unfortunate that the middle child's no longer going to be a Golden State Warrior. But to your point, I think because of the, I guess, you know, swing, the mood swings that Klay Thompson goes through, sometimes probably on a daily basis, I do think there's room to believe that he could come back to Golden State. What I do think it depends on, because
time heals all, man.
It does, but I think also situation heals all. Like, the Warriors right now weren't in a place to give him what he wanted. I think a reason, correct me if I'm wrong, but when Iverson came back to Philly, were they in contention? Were they trying to compete?
Yes and no, but like trying to compete for like 7-8 seed.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Miami was a sub-500 team when Wade came back.
Right.
I think if there's in a couple of years of time where the Warriors aren't very good, you know, are a team that's kind of middling, you know, is willing to give out some lifetime achievement contracts, wants to bring the big three back together just for sentimental purposes because the season's not, they don't envision it going anywhere, and Klay Thompson is at the end of his wits in Dallas or wherever he moves on to after that. I do think there's a lane for that.
Yeah, I do.
I would love to see it, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, I think it was Monday actually. We had this conversation, and no one was trying to have it because it was just so raw, Klay leaving. But yeah, anybody listening out there want to call in, want to hit us up on the text line? How would you feel about Klay coming back in a couple years and retiring a Warrior? I would hope most of the answers are yes, but hey, you never know. Sometimes people might think, hey, he's done, he's gone, he's dead to me. Sometimes people are like that. You never know. I do think, Ev, I think the reaction and answer to this question would be a lot different if he went to the Lakers.
I agree with that. I don't personally look at the Lakers the way a lot of Warriors fans do.
I saw a lot of Twitter and tweets. Oh,
that
would
have pissed some people off.
Yeah, he went LeBron, playing with LeBron, who's also another guy that I've noticed, and I think is easier for me to say, given that I'm not a Bay Area native. So many Bay Area people pretend they don't like LeBron, pretend that they don't hate LeBron, but mm-hmm. they just can't stand him. They'll be like, they'll just say such a like an off remark about LeBron. I'll be like, why do you hate him? They'll be like, no, I don't hate him. He's just annoying. Just admit it. Just admit you hate LeBron James. Just admit it. It's fine. Like, lean into it. I mean, it makes sense why you hate him. You guys played him, what, six straight years? Five straight years?
Yep.
Five straight years in the NBA Finals.
Well, I didn't get it because the Warriors beat him more times than not.
Right.
I mean, the 2061 scars people, but it was also, it's funny you mentioned that the transparency aspect of things. I think that's why I might have been a little frustrated with how the Warriors handled Klay, because I don't think from everything that I've read now all along that they wanted him back. I think all of their actions were to appear as if they did, but they were trying to usher him out, and that's what he felt. Transparency right now is not something that I think the Warriors are prioritizing, and I don't think they prioritize Klay. They prioritize Buddy Hield, though. 3 years, $21 million, 18 guaranteed, the last year non-guaranteed. Similar setup to Kyle Anderson for a sign and trade. That's the news right now for the Golden State Warriors. If you want to share any thoughts on Klay Thompson, if you'd be open to him returning to Golden State in the future, please let us know at 888-957-9570. Also the number for the Xfinity Mobile text line. But we do have someone on hold here, Jay, that I want to get to. Charlie's in New York. Welcome to the program, Charlie. How you doing? Happy Independence Day.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up,
happy 4th of July, guys. What's up? I wanted to go back to, first with Klay. I would welcome him back with open arms. I have no ill will. He needed a change of scenery. It was clear. He wanted to go someplace where he can sort of, I think that's, he came out and said, I didn't pick the Lakers because it would have been in that same fishbowl atmosphere. I think he just wants to sit in the corner a la Kyle Korver and pop threes and just do his thing down there in Texas. I have no ill will. I'm just glad it would have been harder if he were in a Lakers uniform. And I do hate LeBron James. I fully admit it.
Lean into it. I love it. That's all.
But if he was traded to the Warriors, I would welcome him with open arms.
Right.
I would love him. So it's all about the jersey. Anyway, you guys were talking about before. What is the ceiling for Kuminga? We don't know. And I'd like you to maybe lean into that a little, because right now Markkanen is a better player. I like Markkanen a lot. He is a legit number two. I love the moves that Dunleavy has done so far. None of them great, but collectively they've made the Warriors a better team. They're right now, if I had to guess, maybe a 7th-8th seed. If you add Markkanen to this team, I think they're a 4 or 5 seed. They're not a championship level team, but I think he's that good. And I think he's 27 years old. He can be that trend. I'm not saying he's going to be a superstar, but he can be that transitional piece once Curry retires. I think you can build around him. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm desperate. Maybe I'm overexcited. I don't know if it's going to happen. But I would overpay for Markkanen. I would personally. But and I'll get off the phone. But like the question again is, what is Kuminga's ceiling? Because I don't know what that is. Anyway, guys, happy right, 4th.
Charlie, we'll get to that before you go. You still there, Charlie?
I just dropped.
Charlie hung up. I was going to ask what he had on the grill today. Anyway.
On NYC, might be on the pavement.
Oh, he's in NYC. Oh, they got the rooftop grills out there, man. Yeah, but there's not so much green grass outside of properties in New York City. I mean,
dialing up the bratwurst.
If you want some grass, you're going to have to chill in Central Park.
Some ballpark franks.
anyway, Kuminga, that's a great question. What's his ceiling?
I don't even know if it's possible to answer that right now, because to me, there's such a wide spectrum for what Kuminga could be. Like, I do think he has all-star potential. I wouldn't say superstar potential, because I kind of feel like we would get an idea if that was the case by now. But he also could be a player that's just empty calories.
Right.
See, that's what I'm afraid of.
If I'm his development coach, skills coach, whatever you want to call him, they got a different word for every coach nowadays. But if I had Jonathan Kuminga's best interests at heart, I would just work on his ball skills. Like, yes, in the new NBA, he could be a 4, of course. But he doesn't rebound well enough for me to, like, really be that 4. And also, you have Draymond Green here, and you have Trace and Moody.
Yeah.
He helps this team the most if he is a bona fide wing player, three on the perimeter. Get that jump shot up and get your ball skills up. I need that basketball on a tight string. His handles are a little shaky, and his jump shot is inconsistent. He's more athletic than 99.9% people in the NBA, which is saying something because it's like the most athletic league of any sport.
Yeah.
Pause, maybe cornerbacks and wide receivers, but he's more athletic than everybody. So he's going to score. He's going to get points just by accident because he's just literally two steps. He's in a jump and his head is at the rim. And, you know, but if he can get his ball skills tighter and he can really develop that jump shot, I mean, who says he can't be like a Paul George? You know, granted, Paul George is a natural shooter. Like, Paul George didn't come into the NBA like he needs to really work on his jump shot. He could always shoot. He probably came out the womb being able to shoot.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, someone like Paul George or even, he's not as good of a jump shooter, but work with me, someone like Jimmy Butler. Like, those were players that I think were more defense first when they came into the league than Jonathan Kuminga, but they were able to develop an offensive game over time. I think it needs to work almost in reverse for Kuminga. Like, I think offensively, I mean, I would love to see him shoot the three ball a lot better next season. I think you're right. The ball skills need to be better. But in a way, I feel like prioritizing spot up shooting right now is what this team needs. Somebody else to space the floor. I mean, that's why we're talking about Lauri Markkanen so much, because when you look at the roster outside of Steph Curry and Buddy Hield, there's just nobody that can fill it up from deep. So, or at least with consistency.
He gets compared a lot to, and my bad, I didn't mean to.
No, you're good.
He gets compared a lot to Jaylen Brown. So that's kind of another guy. I mean, obviously these aren't perfect matches. People that were, the names were just thrown out. Like, we're not saying that Jonathan Kuminga can be Paul George reincarnated. But if you just look at skill sets, you want Jonathan Kuminga to develop a skill set in line with Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown, now, he's a good example. Same with Jimmy Butler,
yeah,
in the sense that neither of them could really shoot coming into the NBA. We actually had a caller the other day who was a Cal guy. He was like, yeah, I'm a Cal guy. I watched Jaylen Brown. He couldn't shoot a lick. And now
I would agree wholeheartedly.
And now he's a pretty good jump shooter. So who's to say Jonathan Kuminga can't do that? And who's to call that guy wrong? I mean, that's actually a great point.
No, I was a Cal fan. Jaylen Brown, I hate to say this, I did not think he was going to be very good.
Right.
And it's because of one game. The last time Cal, I believe, was in the NCAA tournament was his freshman season.
Mm-hmm.
They lost as a 4 seed to a 13 seed against Hawaii.
Wow.
He played the worst basketball game I think I've ever seen in my life. He scored 2 points, made 0 field goals. He basically pulled a Klay Thompson.
Right.
He fouled out and had like 6 turnovers. And they lost by like 8. Like, he was the reason why they lost the game. And then he went second or third overall, and I was like, what are the Celtics doing? Like, this,
right.
And I love Cal. I love Jaylen Brown.
Yeah. That was those Konzo Martin teams, right?
Yeah, and yeah. God, don't even started down that rabbit hole. If Konzo had stayed, we might have had MPJ. But I think, you're right. Like, Jaylen Brown is a great example. He's somebody that coming into the league, his game was athleticism. Like,
right.
That's all he had. And he was able to develop everything else. I think it helped that Jaylen Brown, similar to Kuminga, was put into a position where he could play alongside other quality players. The question is now, can he be a guy? Can he be the guy? Or can he be the sidekick or the running mate to Steph Curry entering his age 21, 22 season? I think that's a lot to put on his shoulders. But to me, where the Warriors are kind of lacking right now is on the offensive end. And in a way, that's where I'm least concerned about Kuminga. But the question I have is, can he play the three? And I think that needs to be a necessity if this team is going to reach its potential.
Yeah, 100%. And I think Steve Kerr would agree with you. He's all but said as much. Kuminga, he's like 6'7", hyper athlete. If he can tighten up the ball skills and develop more of a jump shot, that's when he becomes like a potentially all NBA type player. Right now, I think next year he could average about 20 points just off pure athleticism.
He gets like 10 off transition points alone.
Yeah, and But like you said, it could be empty calories. You know, like you look down at the box score, you see he had 23 and 6. But did he really have a huge impact?
When you kind of notice a lot of those transition points also connect to the low rebounding numbers because he kind of cherry picks.
Right. Yeah. No, 100%. 100%. And I think if Steve was listening to this conversation, he would be shaking his head, too. I really do. No, it's so funny because when you cover these guys on a daily basis, players and coaches, you know, there's certain things that they just can't say out loud.
Yeah.
You can't lose your teammates You can't lose your players. You can't. I mean, it makes sense. Like, I mean, even you, like you, we work for a team. We work for 95.7 the game.
Yeah, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus
like,
here.
Yeah, like you might say to somebody behind the scenes, man, I need him to produce that segment faster. I just need it. You won't come on here. Ah, Jay, man. Sam is so slow with everything, bro.
Yeah, I'd be like, actually, he's sudden Sam. That guy can't do anything fast enough.
So it's the same thing with Steve. Like Steve's not going to say things in public, but I guarantee you he hears things and he's probably like, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Right. 100%.
No doubt. 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's get up to Henry in San Francisco, where it is a cooked 82 outside. I can already taste the burgers. Henry, you grilling right now? What's going on, man? Happy Independence Day.
I'm definitely grilling. Happy Independence Day to everybody. But with the topic of the Golden State Warriors, thank you, Klay Thompson.
Sorry. I think he's had a little too many Coronas.
Yeah, well, we know he's grilling.
Still a child show, brother. But we appreciate the sentiment, the call.
You can say glizzy on air, but I don't think you can say what he said.
Yeah, can't drop the F-bombs. anyway, shoot, man, I wish I was on his level right now by a pool because he's having himself fun time.
4:12 Pacific Standard Time. That's where I'll be.
but yeah, so I guess back to the original point, Jonathan Kuminga and our caller Charlie, who we had about 10 minutes ago, asked about Kuminga's potential. And I think everyone who is being rational can agree it's untapped. He still has so much room to grow. And I'll tell you this, like I follow Kuminga on Instagram. I follow everybody on the roster. As soon as you get on the team, I follow you on Instagram. Just see what's up, see what you got going on. I cover you. It's probably best that I'm in the know. It's cool to kind of see their lives through their lens outside of basketball and stuff. Kuminga's been going hard in the gym. Now, trust me, I get the whole notion like you don't have to post every workout, blah, blah, blah. Like, but I've seen him with Anthony Vereen, Warriors assistant coach, who will be the head coach of the summer league team starting on Saturday. So he's clear. Anthony Vereen has gotten out and gone workout because I don't even think these videos were in the Bay Area. I think whether it was Miami, Vegas, I know last year, I'm not so positive this year. I know last year Kuminga spent a lot of time down in Miami working out, but this year he's been super intentional about getting better too. And Kuminga's another guy. He was one of the best players in his class, highly regarded. I think at one point he was like number one in his class. So, you know, if a trade doesn't happen and Kuminga is on the roster next year, I'm still very excited to see where he takes his career.
I agree. And I think that's the next part of the conversation I want to get to. 888-957-9570. Where is the Warriors roster right now? How much is dependent on the growth of someone like Kuminga, like Moses Moody, Pajemski, Trayce Jackson-Davis? I think those are the most exciting young pieces that they have. And it's also a reason why I'm not sure I'd be willing to sacrifice it to get that bona fide number two. I'll tell you why on the other side. And we're going to discuss all of this on Monday, July 8th, because the Warriors offseason summit is coming up. Again, Monday, July 8th on the rooftop terrace in Fremont Bank's state-of-the-art new headquarters. Starts at 2 o'clock, 2 p.m. Pacific Standard with Willard and Divs live and the rest of the crew from 4 to 6. Dining Guru, Bonte and Butch, all of them will be at Fremont Bank, their new headquarters, Monday, July 8th. Go to 957thegame.com to reserve your spot today. It's Evan Giddings, Jason Dumas back after this, 957 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.